go.
We're going to follow this very closely because I know you're into this.
So. You don't need to ever talk about this again until that. You know what? Until they got the airplane. Okay. I want a propeller in somebody's hand. This is it. Here it is.
Okay. Yeah,
until then, I don't need to ever hear it again.
Could happen later this year.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here are your hosts, Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
. 9:13 on Wisconsin's Morning News. So glad you're with us here for this last hour of the program today. We take you up until 10 o'clock, and then we'll head you out to Wisconsin State Fair for Stephen Kristen and Point Taken. As parents of college-age students, this story got the eyebrow raised immediately from both Eric and me this week. But I want to broaden this beyond those of us who have college students, those of you listening who may be college students and your families and whatnot. Got to look at it in the broader sense of how are we doing on higher education, which prepares our workforce. It prepares our nation's future leaders, it prepares the American people for the economy of tomorrow. All of these important things. And I think this is a step in the absolute wrong direction. But watch, it could catch on. So here's this report from ABC's Good Morning America on just one school in our region, University of Michigan.
One of the country's largest public universities will soon be doing away with letter grades for some freshmen to protect their mental health.
They need time to figure things out.
Beginning next fall, instead of getting an A, B, C, or D, some first semester freshmen at the University of Michigan will get only a pass or no credit. And neither designation will count toward their GPA.
So you get a buffer year when you go to college. You still have to go to class and all that. You could still fail. You get a pass or fail, right?
Sure.
But you're not getting
a
letter grade. And there are a number of reasons that they want to do that. So let me give you that. We'll give you why the university thinks this is a good deal,
why
they're doing it, and then we'll get into it.
The school says the goal is to help students start strong and curb the mental health crisis unfolding among college-aged individuals. Critics say the university is coddling students. One education policy expert saying swaddling college students does not actually improve their mental health. It creates entitlement.
I love that term that you swaddling them, like you swaddle an infant.
Right.
But
nice and tight.
May not be off base. Now, I want to say this before I start ripping this idea, which is the mental health thing is real. And whether we as Gen Xers or boomers or even front end millennials want to look at the Gen Zs or others, oh, they're soft and whatever. And every generation since ever has done that.
Has always said that. Yep.
That said, they're dealing with some new stuff. You brought up the phones and the social media and the different challenges. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. This is the post-COVID generation, right? We screwed up their education for a couple of years, their socialization, a lot of things. When we shut a lot of things down for a year or more during COVID, and they struggle with that. Mental health is a very real thing, and we got to do better than just be like, well, suck it up. That doesn't work anymore. Doesn't work on this generation. So we do need to work together to find solutions. I think just continuing to delay the ascension into adulthood is not the solution to that. And I think this is a perfect example of doing exactly that. I think it's a disaster.
Well, so everything always comes down to money, right? Like everything is a money.
You're looking at this as a money play from Michigan.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe.
Because you don't want to lose kids.
Because I was looking this up just to see, and it's not like enrollment at the University of Michigan has dropped. Some of the other schools across that state have seen a dip, but Michigan has.
Still banging on the door to get into Michigan, yes.
But perhaps it's a way to make sure you keep a first-year student for both semesters, thus more tuition cash, more housing money. Like, are you noticing a money drop or a student dropout rate that's going up after one semester, and this will help at least keep them through the year, thus that way you're saving cash? Like, that's just one idea that I'm considering, only because Michigan is super prestigious.
It's really hard to get in.
And maybe we're wrong, or maybe I'm wrong, but I've always thought that Michigan was one of the most difficult Big Ten schools to get into. So if that's not the case, perhaps, but why? I mean, are you struggling for enrollment numbers? It does not appear to be that's the case. So then why?
So you've discounted that they could actually be doing this for the good of young people.
Yes, correct. Right?
That there's always a secondary motivation.
Yeah, because, right. because it's never that simple. Right. I always feel like there's always something else involved.
Yeah, my challenge to it is just, look, we all know those people that didn't make it to second semester, right? You came back
Everyone
after break your freshman
guy.
Year, and you're like, hey, what happened to dude? He's like, he gone.
Oh, yeah, right? Everyone knows that kid.
I can think of three people on my floor at St. Norbert, which is at the time, maybe 2,000 students total. I think three people on my floor that I could name for you that didn't see second semester. So, right, that's a real thing. It's a flame out. But and so I feel like, okay, maybe you then discount their failure to achieve in that front end. It's hard. It's hard to adjust to new life. Some don't do it, but do you simply delay the inevitable? Like, are you inviting them, freshmen, to just screw around? Go to parties every night instead of just three nights a week, to do whatever, never do their stuff. If it's pass fail anyway.
If it's a dropout issue, this would help prevent dropouts, right?
Sure, right. You really got to work hard to fail.
But,
I mean, you got to not show up.
So
then.
Do you think that students would just be like, all right, fine, put my feet up since I know it doesn't really matter. I can just, I mean, what right. there, you would lose the incentive to do really well. At least I don't know how your kids are, but my oldest, all three of mine, but my oldest, especially just because he's in university, he's constantly thinking about that grade. Want to hit this number, got to hit this number. And that's his motivation factor. If you take that out, do you lose a little bit of that incentive to study as hard, to attend as many classes, et cetera?
I think you lose a lot of it. And I think there are case studies on this. There are a lot of examples in our own lives when you start to remove the incentive where you reward achievement, even if by letter grade or what have you. When you take that away, then it sort of dulls that competitive nature. I think there'll be a lot of highly motivated Michigan students who still want to achieve.
Sure, of course.
And they're looking at sophomore year when they're going to have to be up and ready to get that letter grade and all of that. But I just think it continues to, we have sort of pushed this delaying the entrance into adulthood in so many ways as parents, like, well, we can't have them stressed about this. And then now we want to have the dogs for the exams because we can't have them stressed about that. And we can't have them stressed about this. At some point, they got to be stressed.
This is
tested.
Got to be meant to cut down on the dropout rate. There's no way that they're sitting in a boardroom in Ann Arbor going, hey, you know what? I'm really worried about little Johnny. There's no way. It has to be more analytical than that.
I mean, this Michigan professor who was interviewed, one other thing that they're touting is, look, what we also want people to do in their freshman year is explore a little bit. And I do appreciate that because you're asked, well, what's your major before you've had a day of class
that's
in college?
That's
and
tough.
You know, let me determine the course of the rest of my life here before I've even had a class at college or university.
And if you make the wrong choice, my goodness.
And you can get backwards and upside down on it in a hurry. And this professor was saying, look, we want to encourage young people to explore a little bit, take a more challenging class because they're not worried about, well, what if I get a C in that class? Because that'll screw up my whole grade point average for the rest of college. But it would open the door for them to say, all right, I'm going to challenge myself. I'll take that class. And then we'll see where it takes me, or to take a number of different things. Well, I want to be a communications major, but really love to take a 101 level business class and have that not impact me in some way, or whatever. I want to do that learning. I appreciate that. I think there's something there.
Okay. Yep.
But you can do that by shifting credit requirements or different things without removing letter
grades.
You're
right. That's a great point. The schools can do a lot of things to make that easier.
A lot of different other than just taking away, but you won't get grades. And just inviting you to party for six or seven nights a week.
It doesn't necessarily mean everyone's just going to party every night.
I think a lot of them would. No?
First of all, different generations. Second of all, this is different than you and me. First of all. And secondly, it is funny that we oftentimes just immediately go to the worst. Well, this is everyone's intentions is going to be terrible now. They're all just going
to. I said some motivated young people would want to do whatever. My daughter, I mentioned, who's going to transfer and she's going to go to lacrosse this year, but was going to school.
I bet
in the
she
Southeast.
Can't wait to party every night.
No. Well, one of the things you'll find this interesting is you know a lot of people who've gone to school in the Southeast, and this is not just her, but a number of friends, and they've transferred out and are coming back to the Midwest, be it Madison or lacrosse or somewhere else. And one thing that a number of them have told me, my daughter included, is a lot of people don't want to study down here. And my kid's no bookworm. She wants to go out, but she doesn't want to go out every night. She said, I couldn't get people to go to the library with me on a Wednesday. I just want to go and sit here and do my work for an hour and then do the other things, right? Again, she wants to enjoy her college experience,
course,
and I encourage
course.
That. That's part of growing up.
Yep, yep.
But she's like, not every night. She's like, nobody studies down here. And it wasn't just her school. She did multiple schools where people of her classmates and others who have gone to some
SEC
of those
schools.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Was just like, look, man, at some point we got to do our work. So no, Eric, I think a very real concern would be
all right.
Almost all of them are like, I guess we get to drink all year, each night, every night, and not do anything.
Concerning story overseas regarding the USS Abraham Lincoln, which is stationed near Iran. There are reported poor conditions on board, poor conditions that include a lack of food, hygiene products, and clean water. These sailors have been out there a long time.
The aircraft carrier and its 5,000 sailors and Marines are now 9 months into a deployment supporting the war with Iran. And at one point, they spent 250 straight days at sea, a modern record. The Navy Times and Stars and Stripes report multiple sailors have tried to jump overboard. One wife saying her husband reached a breaking point after his deployment kept getting extended.
ABC's Karen Hua there. Yeah, they're saying there's a lack of food, hygiene products, clean water. Now, some of this has been now replaced. They are getting some counselors on board. They do have clean water now, but there has been some issues with disrupted supply lines just because of the war. So because this is taking place, these sailors are going through it. I mean, 250 straight days at sea, that is a long time.
Without being able to replenish the stockpiles of everything that they use, whether that's food and these other supplies,
right, right.
Get the thing properly cleaned, all of those things. I do want to say this on the front end, because a lot of veterans will be listening to the program and things like that. Look, we in the course of American history, 250 years now, have asked far more in some cases of our men and women when at war. And you go back to the Revolution and the conditions in which they endured.
Sure.
Back to the Civil War and the conditions which they endured. So understanding there could be some older vets saying, you know what we dealt with in World War II? You know what we dealt with in World War II?
Well, these guys would say
Vietnam.
This ain't World War II, though.
And exactly. There is that different situation. And secondarily, can that all that being said and understood, can we not do better?
Right.
Then get these guys some food.
Well, one of the things that I know someone, I have a friend who was actually stationed on this ship. He was on the USS Abraham Lincoln. And I asked him about it, like, hey, what's the take on this? And he said, it's really hard to replenish when you're at sea. And that heading to port is usually how you resupply. And it's really difficult to do that right now because of the conditions. What you don't want is one of these ships getting attacked when they're docked. So he says that's why it's out at sea.
You have to dock to replenish.
Yeah,
you can't fly
it's
supplies.
It's more difficult
in
to do
scale.
It. Yeah, you
Understood.
Can. It's just more difficult. He also said this. So you heard what Karen said there. Karen Hua said, let's see here. Karen, it's 5,000 sailors and Marines are now 9 months into a deployment. And at one point, they spend 250 straight days at sea. He says, even when I was in, if we were out to sea for 60 days, the food quality started to degrade until you resupplied back in port. So he was saying at 60 days, the food was already starting to turn a little bit.
It's four times that.
Like, boy, this is four times that, which, like they said, is a modern record. So regardless of whether or not this is like World War II or any other war, that's you're putting somebody's body through quite a bit to have them stationed.
The switch out is not an option, it seems. Can we not switch out the USS Abraham Lincoln for another one of our carriers? Are they all occupied? Is one in dry dock?
Because someone would have to say that, right? Wouldn't someone be like, okay, hey, you know what? Our sailor's there, blah, blah, blah. I did ask him that, like, hey, why don't they have a timeline
right.
on
yes.
this? And again, this is someone he's a vet now. He's at home working someplace other. You know, he's not in the Navy. He says, well, the obvious is because they're in continuous combat operations in the Gulf. He says, typically, though, a career group is relieved and replaced by another carrier group after they float around the Gulf for about 4 months. And they always usually hit a port, but they can't do that right now because of the active scene that they're in. So why they haven't brought in a replacement carrier group, he goes, I wouldn't know why they wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, somebody's going to be asking those questions in Washington today. Coming up on 9:30 here on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Come.
What you doing this weekend? Weekend trend in about 5 minutes. So if I say a name and I tell you that this name is in the news, curious how you're going to react.
Okay.
Amelia Earhart.
Nope.
What do you mean?
Nope. No. I don't know what else you're about to say, but I do know it will be inconsequential. You get me every time with this.
We might have found the plane again.
Amelia Earhart is in the news.
16 specialists hope to find the answer to an enduring mystery, the disappearance of pilot Amelia Earhart during her round-the-world flight in 1937.
Yep.
They're not going to do it, Jim.
They won't be able to. ABC's Jim Ryan has the story.
The group plans an expedition to a remote Pacific island in October. Satellite images show intriguing shapes in a lagoon that could be Earhart's twin-engine Lockheed Electra.
Yeah. But probably are some rocks. And we'll find that out after we paid attention and maybe bought the Netflix special or whatever else you're doing over there.
I have been looking to see. My first thought was book or Netflix documentary.
Open the vault, Geraldo. You're not going to get me again on this one. You're not going to get me again. They're never going to find the plane. They're never going to know what happened. The aliens took her. I don't know.
What's fascinating about this is that there's shapes here that look like a plane from the satellite. There's not a boat that's been at that island yet that's looked one time. It seems like every 60 months. This is like Marquette move-in day. This is like the news that isn't news. Yes. Like in a couple of weeks here, that'll dominate the news cycle here locally. Marquette move-in day, UWM move-in day, and we'll have the cameras there.
The annual story that we always
do. Yes, the annual story. This is becoming one of those now, the Amelia Earhart search for the plane.
Again, I'm intrigued as the next person, but how many times over and over again do we have, there could be this, there could be this, there could be this, and it's never that.
It is the Holy Grail, right? Outside of the Holy Grail. This is one of the
great mysteries, yes.
This would be really cool. To find that ship or that plane would be pretty remarkable, even if it's in any type of, would it even be in together in any piece?
You know, it would be nuts if they do find the wreckage and then they can't possibly identify it because it's too far degraded or something.
Of course,
they would have a way, though.
Remember when they found the canoe? Remember when they found the canoe in Madison? They pulled out one of those like 500-year-old canoes or whatever it was. That thing hardly looked like a piece of wood.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You wouldn't have known unless you knew
what
you were looking at. No, it just looked like a piece of bark. How'd you know it was a canoe?
It
had just been a tamarack that fell down 100 years ago.
We're going to follow this very closely because you're into this.
So. You don't need to ever talk about this again until they got the airplane. Okay. I want a propeller in somebody's hand. This is it. Here it is.
Okay. Yeah,
until then, I don't need to ever hear it again.
Could happen later this year.
The best part of the week is almost here.
The weekend.
This weekend.
This is the Weekend Trend with Sandy Max.
Weekend.
The Weekend Trend is presented by Three Pillars Senior Living Communities.
Let's go.
Host of What's on Tap, Sandy Max in the house with us this morning as we look ahead to the weekend, which is some number of things that we're going to talk about are underway.
Yeah, it's here.
Do you want to start at the fair?
Sure.
Just a couple of things you're looking at there, and then we'll move on to other events.
Yeah, yeah, because, I know a lot of people can't go to every single day of the fair like me. But it's been really fun to broadcast there every night. The vibe is high there, as some people like to say. You know, lots of smiles. It's been, overall, knock wood, really nice weather to stroll around and just enjoy. And I would say that Friday night, she's back. We talked about her a little bit last weekend. That electric violin sound, Lindsay Sterling.
Vitrano's favorite.
Yeah, but
we made her.
I got a chance to talk with her and have a Zoom with her.
Did she remember us?
I didn't bring you up.
Did she speak of us? We interviewed her one time when she was going to be at the Riverside.
And then it exploded.
And then after that, she got really big, Sandy.
But she puts on a spectacular show. She dances. She plays violin.
Really
she
unique
sings.
Performer.
She's going to do some aerial dancing as well. So she'll be flying around the stage. So that is Friday on the Bank 5-9 main stage at the Wisconsin State Fair. And I do think that wrapping up the State Fair that Sunday is going to be fun. You can see Thunder, Claire Sardina, with one of the Neil Diamond tribute acts on stage. And also Pat McCurdy wrapping up with a lot of sing-alongs at the Wisconsin State Fair on the Bank 5-9 Amphitheater stage on Sunday afternoon.
We should also point out today the street team out there, the WTMJ street team, is going to be outside the Bank 5-9 studios where we're broadcasting live. And they're going to be giving away WTMJ swag. So Big day today to stop by. It's that easy. Just stop by and talk about your good deeds. Bank 59 likes to celebrate the good deeds that we all do.
Told you the vibes were high. Yep,
you get it. Yeah, you get yourself vibe. a little piece of WTMJ hardware.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about the relatively rare, it's not unprecedented, but rare convergence of State Fair and Irish Fest, because the fair is a little bit on the late end this year, and Irish Fest is about the same time it usually falls. So Irish Fest starts tonight.
It does, and it is so fun. If you've never been, it took me a little while to get there, and when I was like, oh, this is incredible.
We've been waiting for you.
Exactly. Such a celebration of culture. There are at least 24 stages and tents of all kinds of music entertainment, not just the traditional Irish sound, the trad music that you think of, but all kinds of styles and dancing. It's really a wonderful celebration of Irish culture. I know it sounds redundant, but it really is. So I highly recommend going tonight through Sunday. And there are some new things this year, not just, you know, the bands that you think of that are coming back, like Gaelic Storm. You were talking about Alten earlier today, weren't you? And your Northern Irish accent.
They've been coming since the 90s to
Irish
Fest.
Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. And this really is one of the country's, and maybe even the world's, best Irish Fest. Scythian Jig Jam and Ali the Piper, a viral internet bagpiper, is one of the new artists who will be here.
But Intimate Piper.
No, internet.
Oh, I thought you said an intimate piper.
Excuse me? What are you doing with
that bowl? Nope.
No, but
please continue.
What is brand new, though? Sheep herding. Those border collies that know when they just do the whistle and precisely get sheep going where they need to go. It's going to be in the urban park just outside the North Gate, and you can get your hand stamped and go out there. If you've never seen this, it is absolutely fascinating. And a guy from Ireland, Michael Cowell, is coming to host these demonstrations Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. And also, then there is a new Irish language workshop tent, which I recommend for you, Vince, to hone your accent. Hmm. And then you realize next year, about this time next year, the Wisconsin Badgers are going to be playing football. The Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Ireland. So there's going to be a great big pep rally with the UW band and Bucky.
Oh, cool.
They'll have a setup there where you can test your football skills. And where do you think the home of Halloween is? It's not Transylvania. It is Ireland. Hmm. It looks
they
like
invented Halloween, huh?
Well, Samhain used to be the name of a punk band, but how you say it actually is Samhain. So it looks like Samhain, but it's Samhain, and that is a Celtic festival where Halloween first began, and you can learn about the ancient Halloween mask-making traditions. And so there is so much more than just what you think of, the good corned beef and the beer.
Festivals on the neighborhood level. What do you got?
Well, on the neighborhood level, I would say one more cultural festival to enjoy is the Ukrainian Fest on Sunday at Croatian Park. See, combining your cultures there in Franklin, where you can enjoy Ukrainian culture and cuisine there, but locally you've got your Center Street Days Festival on Saturday, which is one of the great gatherings of local music and fun. And
so
have you been to Center
River
Street
West?
Days? Yeah,
yeah,
River
okay,
West
that
neighborhood.
Yeah,
one
cool
of our
one.
Most creative neighborhoods.
They always
in the
have
city.
A party.
Yeah,
yeah,
they got
something
find
going on.
That's also
reason,
called Saturday,
they?
Right? River West, but right, no, very, very well. Yeah, that's a good one.
And also, you've got the wonderful Picnic in the Park in Kenosha, right there at the Petrifying Springs
Beer Garden. Is that fancy?
No, it's nice and casual, and you get to relax and have fun. And you know who's celebrating their 150th anniversary? Pewaukee. So they've got the Glacier Lakes Antique and Classic Boat Show, and there'll also be a veterans tribute and a vintage airplane flyby there. And in Manitowoc on Friday, the Lakeshore Balloon Glow on the lakefront.
Dude, Brian Adams is coming to town?
Brian Adams, Sunday at Fiserv Forum. And you know who's opening? Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. That is going to be a great night of classic rock.
That's pretty cool. And they're playing Fiserv.
Big.
That's great.
Yeah. It's same level. I've seen Heart there. I've seen Kiss there. Yeah. So that is a great venue for classic rock.
All right, lots more that we didn't get to. How do people find this online? Because you have curated a wonderful spot on the website.
I would say there is even more. It's called the Trend. Text the word Trend, T-R-E-N-D, to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text line. You text the word Trend, we'll send you this web link and full of even more options. And we also put the link in there so you're two taps away from more info.
That's awesome.
And you're live at the fair again tonight?
Yes, from 6 till 8:30. And Bobby Way of Bobby Way and the Fabulous Wayouts is my guest. You know why? Because he has performed at every day of every Wisconsin State Fair since 1992.
Nice.
He's going to have some stories to tell.
If this weekend's lineup sounds fun, you're going to want to catch our friends at Three Pillars Senior Living Communities, where top-notch events and activities are at the heart of everyday life on their beautiful Lake Country campus. Visit threepillars.org.
Thank you, Sandy.
Today.
Thank you.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
All right, question number one. Let's go ahead with Jason Wild.
Jason Wild.
Aaron, how are you?
Hey, Jason.
Why'd you play it again? Poor Wildy. Why'd you play that again? Friend of the program, ESPN Wisconsin's Jason Wildy, longtime sports journalist. Yep. Used to have a show with Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. So what they do is, a little bit behind the scenes, when they do these offerings, so they will offer up a player a couple of days before the game, and oftentimes it'll be done via Zoom. And obviously with the Packers playing the Steelers tonight, yes, mm-hmm. there's Packers football tonight, starting at 6 o'clock on Channel 4, they offered up Rodgers to the local crew here in Green Bay.
The opposing team's media gets an opportunity to answer or to ask questions of whoever they roll out.
Everyone gets one question. This is
how it works.
And what they do is the PR person, the media person, just has the list. Like, okay, well, and Wildy is spelled W-I-L-D-E, and she just grabs the name.
All right, question number one. Let's go ahead with Jason Wild.
Jason Wild.
and Rodgers knows immediately who he is. He's got this like wry smile on his face. You know,
Jason Wild.
You know that Rodgers smile.
Yes, like, let's hear from this guy. Okay, go ahead, Wild.
So I don't know. I thought that was pretty good.
I like that. That's
Wildy had a great reaction to it. You can see it on the text line or on the YouTube page. Just text the word Vince to 855-616-1620. What do you think of this comment from Rodgers? He was definitely disappointed this game wasn't being played in Green Bay.
Really hoping that this one was going to be in Green Bay, not just to get back in Lambeau one more time, but, you know, to head out to Chives for a dinner and maybe, you know, head out to Green Bay Country Club for a quick nine or something. But I was definitely bummed out that we weren't in Lambeau for this one.
Well, it was Wild who suggested that, man, you could have really done this right? Rodgers riding the bikes, do a joint practice, the whole thing, and the NFL screwed up by not scheduling that. I would also point out, to Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure they'd love to have you back at Chives. Hop on a private jet, head on over. You could just spend the afternoon and make it back in time for the game. I mean, just right. It's not like it's you didn't have to be in town for work.
That was his way of.
I know.
He was doing.
He shouts
them
out all the time.
Yeah.
Where's Chives? I think it's not in Green Bay. I think it's in Suamico.
Have you been? I have
not. No, and I didn't even know if it was there when I was living there. I have to ask my brother. He lives up there.
He does talk about it.
He talks about it all the time. But it's not in Green Bay itself. I think it's in Suamico, which is, you know, the area just north of Green Bay. If you're on your way up north, up 141, you hit Suamico.
Yeah.
And that's where it is.
Apparently. Are you watching the game tonight?
No. Well, what I'm watching right now is the radar.
Oh, right. You're supposed to play golf.
And tennis. This is my Deion Sanders day. I'm supposed to play a golf.
Okay, Prime.
very similar feat could be pulled on. No, come on now. No, I have a golf match that is supposed to be that must be played today. There's no other window, and the rain is coming. And then I'm supposed to go from there, direct from Racine Country Club, back up to Milwaukee and play these guys tonight in the playoffs for tennis at 6 o'clock.
We are rooting for you.
You're not.
Really
you're not. You want it to all blow up?
No, I don't, because then I'll have to hear about it tomorrow.
you want JD to call me today and like, hello, and you want me to hear me try to reschedule
Absolutely
this match that
not.
Has to be played.
Absolutely not. That's the last. No, it's the furthest thing. I want you to celebrate two big wins tomorrow morning when you get in.
Yes. That's what you're going to come in and say, well, how did it go? Do you want me to call you tonight?
Yes. I want to text.
Call you after the tennis?
Yes. Because you guys always have beers afterward with the.
There's beer available. Why do you make fun of me? Sometimes you and I both, we don't like to drink during the week.
Yeah.
We try not to do that.
Try not to do that.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see. If I pull off both of these, I'll have one tonight.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
In both your matches.
9:57, we yield to Point Taken. That'll be live from Wisconsin State Fair. Steve Scafidi and Kristen Brine next on News Radio 620 WTMJ.
So Vince fancies himself he can speak the Irish accent.
I just do voices and whatnot.
So gotta give it a shot here and see what you think. Shot.
Two of my girls were Irish dancers. They danced for Glencastle Irish Dancers here in Milwaukee.
I like that.
And we enjoyed it.
You have a northern accent. You're definitely from the north.
Yes, you nailed it.